The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
When the Facts Change is brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network, in partnership with KiwiBank, the bank for Kiwi looking to get ahead in business and in life, a bank that delivers expertise and banking know-how, smart advice for business owners wanting to invest, grow their business, or diversify, a bank that adapts with technology through the lens of its people and customers. It is a bank with heart that is driven by its purpose, Kiwi making Kiwi better off. Kia ora, I'm Bernard Hickey. But this is not When the Facts Change. Seeing as you like the first season of This is Kiwi so much, our friends at KiwiBank thought you might enjoy the new season, this time getting into the heads of six extraordinary young New Zealanders. Have a listen while you wait for the next episode of When the Facts Change, and I'll be back on Friday with my regular economics yarns.
Kia ora, I'm Jane Yee, and welcome to This is Kiwi, a podcast series brought to you by KiwiBank and the Spinoff Podcast Network. In this series, I'll meet with incredible New Zealanders who've achieved remarkable things, uncovering what makes them tick and the influences that have helped to shape their ideas. Most importantly, This is Kiwi will bring you knowledge for better, the incredible power of determination, passion, and self-belief that we can all learn from and apply to our own lives every day. So join me on this unique journey as we celebrate the Kiwi spirit and learn what it takes to make a difference. This is Kiwi. Where ordinary people do extraordinary things. Joining me in the studio today is Te Aorere Pewhairangi, a young content creator who's using his popular social platforms with a very clear purpose in mind, to make te reo and te ao Māori more accessible. Growing up speaking te reo exclusively, Te Aorere later ventured into rugby league before transitioning to work at Whakaata Māori, translating shows into English subtitles. He then took on sports commentary and presenting roles for the broadcaster, and the next stop was social media stardom. If you're one of the hundreds of thousands who follow Te Aorere on Instagram or TikTok, you'll be familiar with the cheeky humour he uses as a way to connect with his audience. The affinity he has with his followers means Te Aorere is able to affect real impact through his social media. Last year, in the wake of Cyclone Gabriel, he saw a need in the communities of Te Tairawhiti. He embarked on Waiwai the 35, a campaign to walk over 200 kilometres along State Highway 35 to raise awareness and funds for the devastated East Coast communities. The campaign clocked up 9 million social views, received national media coverage and raised over $115,000. And even more significantly, Waiwai the 35 brought together a hurting community at a time they needed hope most. Thanks to his selfless efforts for his people, Te Aorere was recently recognised by KiwiBank as a local hero medalist for 2024. He's committed to serving his people. It imbues everything he does, and you'll see hints of Te Aorere's familiar, playful side throughout our kōrero. But you'll also see the careful consideration he gives to everything he does, both on and off our screens, in order to stay true to his kaupapa of serving his people. This is another really special conversation with someone who's living his passion and purpose in order to not only inspire, but also make meaningful change in Aotearoa. Here's Te Aorere Pewhairangi on This is Kiwi. Te Aorere, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. We're so excited to have you on This is Kiwi. I'll just give you an opportunity to introduce yourself first before we get into it.
Tēnā koe, tēnā tātou. Hikurangi te maunga. Weiapu te awa Ngāti Porou te iwi, te whānau rua taupare te hapū. My name is Te Aorere Pewhairangi. I'm from the east coast of New Zealand. Hikurangi is my mountain, Weiapu is my awa, and I belong to the tribe of Ngāti Porou.
Awesome.
And I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, we're going to have a good chat, I can feel it. In the intro, I listed through some of the things you've achieved, some of the things you do, but if an auntie came up to you at a wedding and was like, "Te ao, how are you? What are you doing these days? What's your job?" What would your answer be?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. I do quite a bit of different different things here and there. I guess media, the media stuff. Last year I did the Rugby World Cup, created a few television shows and ran social media campaigns. So I have a background in media and I did my master's degree on media, multimedia specifically. And I guess, yeah, just that's kind of what I'm doing.
It's a lot of stuff. You enjoy it?
Yeah, I love it.
Do you have like a favorite? You've got like a favorite child of all your many jobs?
I think social media, because I have a really short attention span. I don't watch anything long form anymore, to be honest. I can't watch a movie. I'm just scrolling on TikTok all day. So I'm not only a consumer, but I also love creating content and I guess elevating the voices and kaupapa that I believe need to be out there.
You're a really incredible role model for rangatahi and not just Māori youth, but also actually Pākehā as well, learning a lot about te ao Māori through your social media. Do you realise that you're so inspirational for so many people? I'm telling you, you are.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest.
Well, think of who inspires you?
That's a good question. Because in my moko, I have four people. And they're four of my ancestors. The first is Maui. Maui is 47 generations before me and I descend from Maui and we believe on the East Coast that he's the person who discovered Aotearoa. The second is Paikia, who's about 36 generations before. And we say he came on, or he followed the whales, or came on the back of a whale to Aotearoa. So that talks about the migration of, I guess, my tribe, Ngāti Porou. The third is Porourangi, and the last is Apirana Ngata. So I'm really big on storytelling, and not just storytelling in a modern sense, but pūrākau Māori. And every generation in our whakapapa or in our genealogy have stories and they hold values and lessons. So I guess those are the people that inspire me. Not just those four, but those, they're different, they're key stories within their lives that I try to live by. And you mentioned rangi and sharing of knowledge. One of my uncles, Dr. Wayne Ngata, he said, ki te kore whai hua tētahi atu I tō whai, te mātauranga hei maumau te whai, which translates to, if no one else benefits from your pursuit of knowledge, it's a waste of time. So, like rangi, I guess, I try to share what I learn and not just talk about it or write about it, but actually go out and live it and, yeah, put it into action.
Oh, that's awesome. You also, particularly on social media, you're sharing in a way that's really entertaining and relatable for people, which is like the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down, right? When did you kind of click on to that being a skill set that you had that really worked for people?
Yeah, so I guess that goes back to Maui. Maui, he's, if you were to ask anyone who knows a little bit about Maui and you ask them what his most common characteristic is, they'd say whakatoi or cheeky.
Cheeky guy, yeah.
Yeah. but in Te Tai Rāwhiti, we have stories of Maui that he wasn't raised by his parents. He was raised by a council of tohunga or I guess high priests, three tohunga. Raised him and they raised him in Te Tapu o Tua Whakarere or I guess ancient knowledge or things that are quite tapu or sacred. That was his upbringing. And if I was to take those traits or look at Maui and that example that he set, he's either one end, he's the biggest clown or he's most, you know, tapu, tohunga that achieved the great things he did in his life. So that's what I try to emulate through my content is, yeah, I tell jokes and make people laugh, but behind it all, it's based on whakapapa, tikanga, you know, a couple years of research at Waikato University. It's all deliberate and it's all conscious. It's never, you know, subconscious and never, sometimes it's intuitive, but it's everything that I try to post on social media has a reason and there's a backing, backed by, I guess, an idea that I want to communicate. And yeah, like you said, it's making it funny is, I guess, draws in a big audience to make it light because it's it can be taumaha sometimes.
Yeah, you are very funny, by the way. Very, very funny. I love your content. It's awesome. What keeps you motivated to keep pushing boundaries?
I guess service. I read this book. Sorry, I'm talking about Mātauranga Māori, but I'm going to go to Buddhism. And this book I read, and it's called Think Like a Monk. And there was there's research that says, you know, they're the happiest people in the world. And at the end, the last line of the book, it says to think like a monk is to serve. So if I was to kind of dissect that idea that, okay, they're the happiest people in the world because they serve others. So for me to find contentment and joy in my life, I can do the same. And that's what I try to do. Things like Waiwai the 35 or Matariki or Mahi Kai or the Rugby World Cup, it's all to serve, I guess, my whānau or the language or things that I'm passionate about and things that I value or have that are values that have been instilled in me. So I guess that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. And I do hit the snooze button quite a bit. I'm a real night owl. But yeah, I try to make it work.
I think I need to get in touch with your mum and ask you what the secret is, because I would love my sons. I would love for my sons to be sitting behind a mic one day and speaking the way that you are. It is so lovely and so important. And just the beauty of Te Ao Māori that I've been learning, particularly at my time here. So much we all can learn from it as well. You mentioned Waiwai the 35, and you actually, I have to say congratulations, because you've just been, you've just received a KiwiBank Local Hero of the Year medal. Tell me a little bit about that campaign and why that was so important to you.
Thank you, first of all. That was huge. That was a really life-changing experience. Earlier last year, Te Matatini was held here in Auckland, which is our big kapahaka competition.
Just right there.
Yeah, just up the road there. And I was involved in the social media of it. And it was a huge success. And it was shortly after the cyclone. And one of my cousins who lives in Tokomaru Bay, that's where I'm from on the East Coast, she calls me and she was like, I saw the content and I watched the kapahaka or what that they could connect to. And they loved it. And I was like, we were on a real high after it. And I asked her, how's it at home? Because I was aware that the cyclone had hit, and her tone just kind of changed. And she didn't say much, but I felt from her tone that it wasn't really good at home. And this is my cousin Juana Forrester, who started a school in her carport in Tokomaru Bay, because a lot of kids live in Tokomaru Bay but they go to school in places like Ruatoria or Tolaga Bay or Gisborne. But because they were cut off, I think it was about 5 or 6 weeks they were cut off, she was, she had to start a school in her carport. And she said week by week more and more kids were showing up, and you know, she's big on education. And I thought to myself, man, why haven't I heard this story? And she shared other stories. Why haven't all of these stories been told? Because I hadn't really heard anything kind of past Gisborne, we heard about, you know, what had happened in Gisborne and in Hawke's Bay and up north. But I didn't see much coverage on the East Coast. And I felt kind of guilty. Like I was like, man, I'm up here in Auckland celebrating the success of Matatini, but my own whānau and hapū are back home cut off struggling. And I was like, oh, well, I have a couple hundred thousand followers online. I have a master's degree. I have a bit of, knowledge in how to communicate a message or broadcast a message to a wide audience. So I thought, oh, wow, I could do something to not just raise money, but raise awareness for those at home. And with everything that I do, I try to take people on a journey, make it quite simple. So I was like, okay, let me start at point A and end at point
B. A literal journey.
Yeah. and do a walk. And what a lot of people don't know is I walked a couple hundred Ks and ran quite a bit of it, and I was unfit as. I was burnt out because I was like, Matatini was a couple months of mahi and then like the high of being there. I was burnt out and I was sick for a couple weeks. And on the Sunday, I travelled to Gisborne to start my hiko, and I had a nap that afternoon, and then that Sunday arvo, I finally felt better after a couple of weeks of being sick. So I had no training, no kind of like running or walking experience. I had my brother's two best mates, and they're both videographers. I was like, you know, when we graduated school and we made that oath, kia puta hei raukura mō tō iwi, go out and serve your people. Yeah, I'm going to use that against you, and you have to come. We don't have money. We don't have anything. But let's go and do this. And they jumped on board, and it was a crazy, crazy 7 days.
I mapped that before we came into the studio, and I was like, that's a long way.
Yeah.
Like, it's quite a long drive, let alone a walk slash run.
Yeah, it was a lot. And it was challenging physically, but the biggest thing was mental and, I guess, fatigue, because I not only had to do the hikoi and the run, but we also had to put out content every day. So we were up until like 12 o'clock, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I was up again. I'll go to sleep for a couple hours, up again at sunrise, just to start running again. So, it was a pretty tough week, but it's honestly probably the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life, and I guess that goes back to that kōrero, to live like a monk is to serve, and, you know, through that service I found great joy.
And it's literally walking the talk, right? Like, it would have been easy maybe to like shoot a bit of content saying, hey, you know, they're doing it tough, let's raise some money, here's a bank account you can donate into. Right? But by doing what you've done, you've got out there and shown that you're, you know, you're putting yourself on the line. You know, here's an unfit guy going out and like walking for days and days and days on end. Yeah. And I think, you know, how important was it to kind of attach something, you know, some like hard graft mahi to the campaign? It wasn't just an ask for money.
Yeah, I guess that's there's a kupu that one of my good mates, Matai Kepa, shared before I started, and he said, ika kuanga umu, which is someone who kind of sacrifices themselves for a cause. And I guess with Waiwai the 35 and being from Tokomaru Bay, there's kind of a saying or an ahua there is, don't tell me, show me. If you ever make a suggestion at a hui or anything like that, they'll say, don't tell me, show me. So I didn't want to just go and talk about it. And yeah, just kind of be like an influencer about I actually wanted to do something and put myself through something to kind of highlight what others were going through. And yeah, so we decided to do a hikoi, and my knees have, I developed ITB syndrome from it, which is like runner's knees. So
wow.
my knees haven't recovered.
Is that's your running career over?
Yeah, yeah. which I'm happy to retire from.
I'm sure the people of Te Tairāwhiti are very grateful for all your mahi, and so sorry for your knees. I'm curious to know where like money sits in all of this for you, because you have done what we all would love to do, which is turn your passion into a career. Mm. We need to make money to survive. It's just one of those sad truths in life. But actually there's also this incredible empowerment that can come from having financial literacy. And it can be really particularly difficult for those who don't have money discussions at home or learn about money to make good decisions for their own prospects for the future. So what sort of money journey have you had, and what was it like with the money conversations at home when you were growing up?
Yeah, so I was quite fortunate. This was maybe about 10 years ago now. I had a conversation with my kroua, Te Aorere Redau, who's retired. He lives up the road here in Point Chef. And I asked him, what do you need to retire? And he told me five things, and I was trying to think of the five things. I can only remember four. He said, you need good health, you need meaningful relationships, you need purpose, and you need security. I can't remember what the fifth one is, but I kind of went down and wrote it down, and I tried to dissect what security meant. And one thing that I thought of was financial security. I didn't want to get to retirement and, you know, then start to think about money. But I was very fortunate. When I first started at Whakaata Māori, I was invited to a cafe. I remember I was invited to a cafe by Te Arahi Maipi, and he runs a successful business, Mahitahi Media. He invited me to a cafe just to have a coffee and a conversation, and I took two things away from what he said that day. He said to me, start a business today. I was 19 years old. I was like, oh, I don't see why. I'm just a subtitler in the, you know, in the corner of the building. I don't see why I need a business or what future prospects I have in business. He said, you'll make a lot of mistakes along the way. And I did. I was stung after the first year with the tax bill.
Oh,
I was
tax.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh, what's this? I didn't even know what tax was back then.
That's super relatable to like everyone listening, I promise.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm grateful that I made that mistake at age 19, 20. I've had my business for almost 10 years now, and well, that was his first piece of advice, was to start a business. You'll make mistakes, but it's better to make those mistakes while you're young.
Mm-hmm.
And every year I've learned more and more about my business, and it's grown and evolved, and now I've made my passion, I guess my life. I get to pick and choose what I do now, and that's because of what he did that day. I think, I don't remember, it cost maybe like $49 or something to start a business, and I didn't have that money back then. I was like, oh, okay, maybe it was 100 and something, but started the business. And the second thing he said was take every single opportunity that comes your way. And about a week after that conversation, I got a phone call from the head commissioner at Māori Television at the time, Kawariki Morgan, and he was like, hey, we're doing this new show. First of all, do you know how to commentate? And secondly, do you know boxing, kickboxing, and MMA? And I'd never commentated in my life, and I had no idea about mixed martial arts or martial arts at all. But I went back to that conversation that I had with Te Arahi, and Yeah, I said, yep, I do.
You lied.
Yeah. I
but it was a little white lie.
The lesson that I took away from that conversation was fake it till you make it. And he said, you know, you might not have the skills now, but back yourself to learn the skills as you go. And that's what I've done with business. I started business and made mistakes along the way, but I've learned skills and picked up skills and kind of figured out what works for me. So it's, in terms of business, I've had a little bit of self-education. I haven't had any formal education, but books has been really important in, I guess, my learning journey. I was told earlier in my life that if you want a fair idea, to gain a fair idea on a kaupapa, read 5 books about it. So I started reading financial literacy books. I started with 5 and I ended up maybe 50 to 100 books. I just really gotten into it. And yeah, I thank myself now that back then I did that because it's allowed me to make my passion, I guess, my job. It doesn't feel like a job. And I guess I get to serve my people.
That's the dream. That's the dream. We'd all love to be in that position. I mean, do you have any plans to write a book? No. Because I feel like you've got all this, you know, you've gained so much from reading books. Mm. And also I love how you've told us so many kind of quotes, and you seem to have retained so much of the wisdom that other people have passed on to you. To me, that's so indicative of the importance of community.
Mm.
There's an element, and I know it's obviously huge in Te Ao Māori, in many cultures, probably lacking amongst a lot of Pākehā New Zealanders. Community and what that means in terms of bringing you forward, bringing you up, and being able to tap into the community around you. We've spoken about a lot of people who've had an impact on your journey. But what is your, how do you actively, if you don't have that kind of natural community around you, is it possible to build a community around you? And where would you start with something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Where I would start, I guess there's a concept in Te Ao Māori that's a tohunga pia and a tauira. A tohunga in this sense is a teacher. A pia is someone at your level that you can trade notes with or compete against. And a tauira is someone to teach. And I guess that's what I try to do with everything that I do in life, and that's how I kind of build a community or find the people, the right people. I try to find a mentor, a tohunga. I try to find someone who's like-minded or who's on the same journey as me, and they're the same part of the journey as me that I can kind of ask or you feel comfortable to discuss any questions that you might not want to ask a mentor. And you also need a tauira, which is a student that you can teach. And I read something quite similar in an MMA book that I read, that's what MMA fighters need. You need a mentor, you need someone you can compete with every day, and you need a student. And there's another kōrero in Te Ao Māori, or tauira. Tauira means student, but tauira also means example. So there's a kōrero, e noho tauira mai katu tauira atu, which loosely translates to remain a student until you become the example. So I guess that's how I try to find my community, and anything that I do, I kind of bounce around sports and hunting and fishing and, you know, my hapū, my whānau. I try to find those things, those three things, a tohunga, a pia, and a tauira. And I guess sometimes you have to be smart with how you find those people. For example, when I got that phone call for that that show, the kickboxing, boxing and MMA show.
Is that what you were reading the book for that you just talked about?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Quick bit of research.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, better touch up. Looked into it, did a bit of research, and I remember I went to the audition for the part, and I was terrible. I wasn't that great at all, and I was really awkward with the other fella that I did it with, and they rang me and they're like, we've chosen you. You weren't very good, but we're gonna put you with an expert who can teach you. And at the time, I was like, oh, mean, can I choose who that expert was? And they're like, yeah, this is the list of people. And I, he's one of my mentors, and he's now a good friend of mine. His name's Mataia Kepa. And the reason why I chose to learn off him wasn't because of his, not just because of his commentating background, but also he was steeped in tikanga and reo and karaki and all of those things. He's a real expert. He's one of the big drivers behind the revitalization of matariki, the ceremonial side of it, and the prayers of matariki. And I was living in a navy house on the north shore with my sister and her partner, and he was living in the city, and we would record in Pukekohe every Wednesday night. Start at like 9 p.m. and record to the early hours of the morning, and would drive out there, and I was like, oh man, I want to learn more from him. So what I did was I messaged him. I was like, bro, I'll come and pick you up and we'll drive out there together. So every Wednesday night, an hour from the city to Pukekohe and back, I would write notes in my phone. And I'd write questions that I wanted to ask him throughout the week. I'd have a think, and I'd come up with questions that I want to ask him, not just about commentary, but just te reo Māori and te ao Māori. And so I guess for 2 or 3 years, I had access to, you know, one of our leading tohunga of te ao Māori. I could pick his brain, and I'd try to bring it up casually. Oh, what are your thoughts on this? Or what do you know about?
Quietly looking at your phone.
Yeah, you're looking at
my,
okay, what's my next? Just to circle back to your question, I think that's important in finding your community. You need a mentor, you need a peer, and you need a student. And a student doesn't mean you have to stand up and teach in a classroom. It could be someone who's a year behind you that you can slowly, oh, this is what I learned last year, or this is what I went through last year. You don't, sometimes it's better to learn off someone who's a step ahead of you or a year ahead of you as opposed to someone who has 50 years of experience, because sometimes it's more relatable.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a good reminder to yourself as well of where you've just been.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I love that, you know, when you got offered the gig, you were given a list of people to choose from, because that's empowering for you, but it's also recognizing that, you know, different people kind of provide different things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And throughout, I guess, my learning journey, I've had different mentors, and I've kind of positioned myself in a way to, yeah, learn as much as I can. The last year or so since Matariki Rangi has been a real mentor to me, and you know, I've taken a lot from him, and hopefully I provide him with something on, I guess, the social media side of things. But we do laugh and we do have a good time, but I'm always sitting there, I'm always observing, and always trying to learn off people that I want to be like and I want to emulate.
Yeah, it's really admirable the way that you look for opportunity in everything. You know, those car rides you saw as an opportunity.
Mm.
You must have had some challenges along the way. I know you had a head injury at one point, which is, you know, proven challenging in terms of getting up in the morning.
Mm.
But what are some of the other challenges that you've endured that have helped create some resilience in you?
Yeah, I had a head injury, and I've had a sporting background growing up. I played touch and rugby league, and I was contracted to the Parramatta Eels and thought I'd be an NRL player, but I got a head injury about 10 years ago now, and I had to retire from contact sports. So that's probably one of the big challenges, was coming away from my passion and what I loved growing up, and finding, I guess, a new passion. And I guess that's what I'm doing now, is kind of going back to te reo Māori and tikanga Māori. But I think one thing that young kids or young Māori or anyone in general can take away is that if you have, you know, if you have a dream, if you have a goal, go and do it. You know, mine is to promote te reo Māori and tikanga Māori on social media, and we know social media can be pretty ruthless. Mm-hmm. I get some comments all the time, every day you get negative comments. And there's a kōrero in te reo Māori that's te mūraua, te tini, te wenerauā, te mano. It doesn't matter what you do, you'll get praised and you'll get criticised. So if you, you know, have a dream and if you want to do something, go out and do it, and don't let anyone stop you from doing it. I have this this quote that I created, well, it's half taken from a story and half kind of creative. The first is taihiti tai wawa, tai whakaeatia. Taihiti translates to it's extremely difficult. Tai wawa is it's impossible. And tai whakaeatia is go out and achieve it anyway. So I guess that's probably when I do get challenges, that's what I want to, that's what I go back to, and that's what I maintain. And these are lessons that I learned as a kid that I've carried with me. I'm almost 30 now, that I carry with me daily, not just to learn the pūrākau or the stories of my ancestors, but to actually live it and practice it and take those values and embody it every single day. So it's good to go back to your question. I guess, yeah, one of the challenges that I still struggle with is putting myself out there, and you're open to criticism. But I think, yeah, I focus on the positive.
That's where mindset's so important, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can have 1,000 positive comments and one negative comment that can ruin your day. It's just focusing on if you believe your kaupapa is right, and if you believe what you're doing is for a better purpose or a better cause. Tai whakaeatia, go out and do it.
Amazing. I mean, you know, you talk about following your passion, following your dreams, and there's obviously like no better time to start doing that than like right now.
Yesterday.
So, yeah, yesterday. If there's one thing Kiwi could do this week to make a start in achieving their goals, what advice would you give them? What would that one thing be?
Is to start. I was, you know, I go back to the story of business. Te Arahi said to me that they go back to your desk and start a business today. You'll make mistakes, and I did, but I thank myself 10 years later that I made those mistakes 10 years ago, and I'm much better off for it now. So start, and there's another book, it's called Atomic Habits. It's quite a popular book. I think it can be a lot shorter.
Simplify everything,
yeah,
right?
No, it's really simple, but it kind of drags on, but anyway. This Atomic Habits is a concept in there called habit stacking. And what I mean by start is start with something small. Like, for example, what I have a habit stack every single day. The first thing I do when I get up is I brush my teeth, and then I acknowledge, yeah, that's the first win that I've done today. Second thing, I go back to my bed and make my bed.
Oh, I need to send my kids your way. I need to get my kids this book in the real list.
And it takes time. You have to slowly build or stack your habits. You know, it starts with brushing your teeth, and then you go to making your bed. And then after making your bed, go and have a healthy breakfast or go and do some exercise, and then after that you feel good after the exercise and then have a healthy breakfast. So you start with one thing and you try add a healthy habit, and I think that's quite important. I'm really big on routine, and if I was to give a message or a piece of advice to anyone, is to start with one thing and acknowledge that win every single day, and then start stacking.
Once you've got that one thing down and you've got that in routine and you're not even thinking about it anymore, you can add the next thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today, Te Ariri. I mean, it's just been such a pleasure to have you in the studio. I feel like I've learned so much. You are wise beyond your years, and we really appreciate your generosity of knowledge as well. This is Inspiration. This is Te Ariri Pewhairangi. This is Kiwi.
When the Facts Change was brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network, together with KiwiBank. Visit kiwibank.co.nz to find out how KiwiBank are making Kiwi better off.
Kia ora e te iwi, Tiahe Butler here, podcast manager at the Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate. The Spinoff Podcast Network.